Buenos noches, amigos. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, the 30th of May, 2022. Welcome to the return of the Don Tony Show. This is your WWE Raw post-show review. And for a second week in a row, we are going to do Raw in 30, News in 30, Q&A in 30. So I hope everybody had a enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. On behalf of the family here, I want to send my appreciation and love to everyone who in the military who has served, is serving, and those who have paid the ultimate price to defend our freedom. So we thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. We have a lot to get into. I will let everybody know on a little lighthearted side later on, I'd say about a half an hour from now, we're going to do another Guess the Ratings contest. Somebody tonight is going to win not only this very cute looking Liv Morgan autographed photo, but this Mandy Rose autographed photo as well. So Liv Morgan getting a very impressive victory today on Rhea Ripley. I know it's only one win, but it gives a little momentum going into Hell in a Cell. We will definitely get into the card later on. And as far as predictions go, I'm actually leaning towards doing a special live predictions episode on Friday after SmackDown. It's unofficial yet. I will let everybody know by Thursday, but we really want to wait until SmackDown takes place in case any matches are added. If anything is tweaked, I don't want to do the predictions too early. We'll play it by ear and we'll see what goes down later this week. And later on tonight, believe it or not, the prize wheel returns. We got to give away a couple of other autographed photos. Undertaker, Sting, Sasha Banks, Roman Reigns, Unified Champion signed photos. Those are from the watch parties last week. And unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about this. For those that don't know, Jake Atlas was arrested last week, charged with domestic assault. Now, this gets a little bit complicated because of the parties involved. Now, whether somebody he was involved in is a wrestler or a non-wrestler, I always keep victims, their information private. I keep witness information private. I am not going to reveal that specific information. If you want to dig deep enough, you can find it elsewhere. But I got the full report right here. No one else has it. Maybe someone had it and didn't want to reveal it. Well, you're going to get specifics firsthand tonight as far as what went down. Now, let me make this clear. Domestic assault misdemeanor. It's not anything crazy. If you remember our discussion over the weekend, you know, how it's almost mandatory to be arrested under certain circumstances. You know, when I read you the actual police officer's report, with some names removed, obviously, you'll learn that I think Jake Atlas could have avoided arrest simply by talking to the police officer. You know, the police officer cited Jake Atlas as being uncooperative. You know, if you read all the cut and paste sites out there, they're just saying, oh, domestic assault, wanted to have a three-way with a woman, and this. They have no fucking clue. I will give it to you firsthand later on tonight. Lacey Evans. Wasn't Lacey Evans supposed to wrestle tonight? I thought she was. I could have swore last week they were advertising the return of Lacey Evans in the ring. Now, it was pretty cool. Lacey Evans, you know, leading the Coca-Cola 600 race over the weekend, representing WWE. As we talked about last week, they were delaying, postponing the heel turn because of the suspensions to Sasha Banks and Naomi, because we are leading into the 4th of July holiday, Independence Day, support for our country, support for our troops, loving our country. So not the perfect timing for them to turn her heel. Now, remember the scenario we already talked about that no one else is reporting, that, you know, this is more of her challenging Bianca Belair and possibly turning heel by default, simply for challenging Bianca Belair. Now, you see Asuka, she is challenging Bianca Belair Sunday as part of the three-way, but she is not booed out of the building. So they're going to have a little bit of work to do with Lacey Evans if they still go that route. But, no appearance tonight. I honestly thought she was wrestling. The majority of this show, you know, was focusing not only on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, but this closed out tonight's Monday Night Raw. The contract signing for the handicap match at Hell in a Cell, Bobby Lashley versus Omos and MVP. You know, for anyone out there that's a little bit surprised that WWE would actually close out with something like this, need I remind people that Bobby Lashley and Omos, didn't they close out a Raw before WrestleMania? Or was it WrestleMania Backlash? There was an episode of Raw where those two guys actually closed out Raw. This isn't the first time that they've done that. But, you know, the contract signing, it was what it was. I mean, you know, they needed to have Cedric Alexander to be, you know, the instigator physically to Bobby Lashley, because Omos is still, let's be honest, a green Oompa Loompa. He's a green Oompa Loompa. I think the biggest mistake that Omos did during this is he's throwing chairs outside the ring, you know, the leather chairs that everybody was sitting on. But meanwhile, Bobby Lashley's in the ring. And I think he might have just forgot that Bobby Lashley is just standing in the corner. I know they had to stare down afterwards, but it did look a little bit goofy that he's more concerned about housekeeping than putting his hands on Bobby Lashley for a little while. But listen, this match is going to be better than their first two matches for the simple reason that MVP is involved. So MVP is obviously going to pick up some of the slack that Omos is not. You know, and when we get to predictions later this week, I think I'm leaning towards MVP and Omos taking this one. You know, it's not going to be within the confines of Hell in a Cell. So you may get Cedric Alexander to interfere once again. So let's talk about Raw pretty quick. And then, you know, we'll get into news. Got some interesting stuff. I'll give you a little teaser about one thing that some of you may not know. This was the advertised 10-man tag for this Wednesday's AEW Dynamite. Look very closely to the left side of your photo, because as of 2 hours ago, the match has been changed into this. Jeff Hardy, no longer on that show, on that match. They had to remove Adam Cole to keep it even on both sides. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll talk a little bit about the fallout from AEW last night, that watch party that Tony Khan and CM Punk did afterwards. We don't call them media scrums anymore, everyone. We call them watch parties, but that, because that is what they are. Let's be a little honest here. But first, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. We had Raw open up Becky Lynch in the ring. And I love the quote that she said, that she runs on spite and coffee. I love that remark. We are brewing a pot of spite and coffee. I think we brew a pot of it on every show. You know, we got all those haters out there, but she runs on spite and coffee. A little uncomfortable coming out to open up Raw in the past because she's missing her baby, her title. She predicts victory at Hell in a Cell. She says that some people collect stamps, she collects enemies. And she brings up Money in the Bank 2020, Asuka winning the briefcase. And she had it all planned out. She said the reason why she gave Asuka the briefcase is because she felt that Asuka would hold the title until she was ready to return. So when Becky left to create life, She expected Asuka to keep the title. But Asuka obviously didn't. This proceeds to have Asuka come out. She calls Becky once again a big time baby. I always sound like, I don't know, Alberto El Patron. I sound like Spanish when I do that. And then she goes into her whole Japanese lingo. Kunga Rumatau Asuka. She predicts she's going to win the title. And here comes Bianca Belair. You ain't all winning the title. She reminds Asuka that Asuka kicked her in the head last week. She tells Becky that she's 100% sure that the title is not going anywhere. And Bianca says that if Becky doesn't shut up, she will drop Becky like she did at WrestleMania. So what does Becky do? She lays out Bianca Belair for a brief moment. The three go at it. Bianca and Asuka clear Becky Lynch from the ring. We go to commercial. When we come back, we actually have the match. Bianca Belair versus Asuka. Non-title match. Becky Lynch on commentary. Towards the latter part of the match, Asuka teased a knee injury, rolled outside the ring. I thought Becky Lynch was going to interfere and maybe kick her while she was down, but it ended up that Asuka was faking the injury. Bianca rolls her back in the ring. Asuka kicks Bianca Belair. And then we get a flurry of back and forths. Asuka lands the Asuka lock. Bianca Belair actually breaks out of it and drops Asuka face first into the mat. Bianca does that to Jiri, you know, against the side of the rope. Asuka gets out of the way and attempts a cradle lock, but Bianca reverses it. Fruit roll up, 1, 2, 3. After the match is over, Becky hits the ring, gets a little bit of a receipt on both, dodges off, storms off, and this is to hype up, obviously, the three-way at Hell in a Cell. You know, good match while it lasted, but, you know, it's what we have seen with these three for quite some time. I'm pumped for the match. You know, because look, if we talk about that when it comes to the House of Black versus the Death Triangle, we're not saying that these women wrestle like them. But what we talked about yesterday is that when you see the Death Triangle in House of Black, it's a type of match we don't necessarily care as much who wins the match. People just loving it. You do get matches like that where, you know, it's not necessarily, and I don't know if that's a good thing, but you don't necessarily root for one side in particular. You just love the match itself. And we know what the outcome is going to be with the women's match. But you got Becky, Bianca, Asuka, three of the best. So, I mean, unless they just absolutely brain farted, it's going to be a really good match. It's going to be a good match. So, we now get six-man tag match. Ezekiel and the Mysterios versus Kevin Owens and Alpha Academy. Duration in the match, Dominic gets beat down. Ray gets beat down. Ezekiel gets a hot tag late in the match. Ezekiel goes for a pin on Chad Gable, but Otis breaks up the two count. Otis gets taken out by the Mysterios. Kevin Owens attempts a super kick on Rey Mysterio, but Rey gets out of dodge. Kevin Owens inadvertently super kicks Chad Gable. So what ends up happening, we get a double 619 by the Mysterios to Chad Gable. Ezekiel hits his finisher on Chad. They get the 1, 2, 3. After the match is over, Alpha Academy, they're not happy at Kevin Owens. Chad, with the finger, it's not, but like Danhausen, doesn't do this, but he's with the finger, he's pointing at Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is incensed. He's yelling at Jimmy Smith, he's throwing papers around, he's just angry. What happened? Last week, Kevin Owens said, I don't care if your name's Ezekiel or Elias or Sebastian. I'm just going to kill you at Hell in a Cell. I'm exaggerating. Okay, what do you give a shit this week about for? You know, look, Kevin Owens does a great job at what he does. But last week to this week kind of didn't make sense if you really think about it. So we get a repeat, a little recap of last week's attack by The Miz and Seth Rollins on Cody Rhodes. comes out. He admits that he is a fan of Seth Rollins. And he also gives a little props about, you know, Seth Rollins and when Dusty was alive, how much he put over Seth Rollins. You remember that infamous photo when Seth Rollins won the NXT title? You had Dusty, Triple H holding his hands up. You could see the emotion with Seth Rollins. You know, this goes deeper, but in a good way, because these two guys make magic together. And it's a little disappointing to realize that after Hell in a Cell, they probably are going to go their separate ways. Maybe house shows, they'll still do it. Or after Raw goes off the air, or maybe even a SmackDown once in a while. But as far as television goes, they got to go their separate ways. But Cody talks about being nervous at WrestleMania. He would not be able to bring it back here with a loss. He calls Seth Rollins an egomaniac, and he feels that that's what makes Seth Rollins so dangerous. Seth Rollins comes out laughing his ass off. He is sick of Cody Rhodes. He doesn't like Cody. He mentions how Cody left 6 years ago, and him and his friends tried to tear down what Seth Rollins built. Competition. Now you come back to build your legacy, not on my watch. You can't take a sledgehammer to the throne and take it from me. A little subliminal comments, a little, you know, Easter eggs, as some people like to call it, because Cody, you remember the sledgehammer at AEW, but All In. So Seth Rollins says he's going to end Cody Rhodes, and then we will finally wake up from this American nightmare. And basically what transpires after is Cody's like, look, there's only three ropes separating us. Yeah, three. He's like, get your ass in here. And Seth teases like he is, but he doesn't. So Cody goes to Seth. They brawl into the crowd. They brawl around ringside. Cody throws Seth through the barricade. We try to get staff and security to break them up. They keep breaking free. Crowd is loving it. This is awesome. This is awesome. You know, I saw people on social media comparing the brawls tonight to yesterday's AEW. You can't. Because I think, and I've always brought this up, besides the TV rating, one is TV 14, one is TV PG. But AEW is gritty. AEW is more raw. And I don't mean raw as in WWE. I mean like just raw, gritty. WWE is organized, more corporate. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like going to a fancy restaurant and then maybe going to a burger joint. Doesn't necessarily mean the burger joint is not as good as the steak joint, because the steak joint is more corporate and organized and you got to wear nice clothes. But I don't compare the two. I don't think of yesterday, see today, and say, oh, how can people, you know, really get into Cody versus Seth? That is so watered down compared to what we saw yesterday. Two totally different things, man. Two totally different things. I hate when people keep bringing that up together. So they brawl, get pulled apart. They brawl again. Crowd loves it. Really nice lead into Hell in a Cell this Sunday. By the way, we will do a predictions contest for our channel members and Patreon. By the way, for our Patreon and channel member family, you know, another reason why you should be part of La Nostra Familia. Yesterday we had an AEW watch party. We all watched Double or Nothing together. A lot of people saved some money yesterday. Did everything the right way, I must say. Alexa Bliss beating Doudrop. Alexa Bliss, you know, undefeated since her return. Doesn't feel like it matters all that much. I don't know where this goes with Doudrop. You know, it's weird because it felt like we were getting some momentum maybe with Doudrop and Nikki Ash. Nikki, are you done playing around with superhero? Yes, I'm going to be more serious. And you think, okay, maybe this is going to be some momentum for them. And they lost the tag match afterwards. Doudrop losing, Nikki Ash losing. I don't know where you go from here. But Doudrop losing to Alexa Bliss, the commentators, without mentioning Nia Jax's name, mentioned that Alexa Bliss has faced women much bigger than her in the past. So, you know, kind of a, well, it is making mention of Nia without her name. But Alexa Bliss beats Doudrop to tonight, and I don't know where this leaves Doudrop. Now we get clusterfuck. Miz TV is supposed to have the Street Profits. Miz, before they come out, he's talking about the season premiere next week, season three of Miz and Mrs. And we're going to get two episodes after Raw next week. And next week's Raw, Maryse will be making an appearance. Street Profits interrupt Miz talking about his show. Street Profits come out. We have some comedy back and forth. They're doing a little bit of Miz's catchphrase. They're goofing around. And the next thing you know, Dana Brooke and Akira Tozawa at ringside. He's trying to get the 24/7 title. Miz is pissed off. He's being interrupted. Street Profits sit down and just watch the whole thing, and we get 24/7 bullshit. You basically, Tozawa tries to pin Dana Brooke. Here comes T-Bar, breaks up the count, chokeslams Tozawa. Then you see Apollo Crews. Then you see R-Truth. And then we get Tamina going at it with Dana Brooke in the ring. Tamina wins the 24/7 title. Now, we're expecting Dana Brooke to win it back and then go to the back. Or maybe we get a surprise and R-Truth gets it. But Tamina wins. And the next thing you know, she is face-to-face with Tozawa. Now, you think of the storyline with the divorce. Tozawa all puppy-eyed. He didn't want to get divorced. Tamina looks at him. Now she's got the title. She's happy. She kisses Tozawa. So what does Tozawa do? He fruit roll-ups Tamina Snuka. So Akira Tozawa beats Tamina Snuka for the 24/7 championship. He gets out of Dodge. And that was Miz TV for everybody out there. As we said earlier, Lacey Evans appearing, signaling the start of the Coca-Cola 600. And we got more goofiness. Mustafa Ali versus Tommaso Ciampa. If Mustafa Ali wins, he gets a future U.S. title match. Austin Theory is at ringside doing commentary. We got a regular match. Not bad. Still really don't feel that tension between Ali and Tommaso Ciampa. But what ends up happening is Austin Theory interferes. He attacks Mustafa Ali at ringside. Referee calls for the bell. Ali wins by disqualification, which means Ali gets a future U.S. title match. Theory gets on the mic and puts down Ali a little bit. Then he says, why wait? Let's have the match now. Ali is in no condition to wrestle, but they still ring the bell, and Theory basically beats him like this. Cheap way, but Adam Pearce comes out. You know, Mr. McMahon, not thrilled with the way this went down. So at Hell in a Cell, Ali gets a rematch against Austin Theory. So he gets a rematch after all. If you thought that ridiculous DQ was bad, we got the same thing with the Usos versus Riddle and Shinsuke Nakamura. I thought this match was going to close out tonight's show. It ended up happening in hour two. And the tag match, look, we have seen the Usos and Riddle go at it quite a few times recently. So you know what to expect. Shinsuke did a great job as well. But towards the end of the match, Jimmy Uso picks up Riddle's scooter and hits Riddle with it right in front of the referee. Referee calls for the bell. And because this was a championship contenders match and they won by disqualification, that means that Riddle and Shinsuke Nakamura have earned a future tag team title match. Yes, you're right, Bash. You know, going one step back, Ciampa just disappeared. He just disappeared. I mean, that is one of the worst storylines that WWE's done in recent memory. He attacks Ali a bunch of times, never gets to explain why. Ali does all these vignettes on social media, you know, impersonating others, making fun of Theory, never made fun of Ciampa, never even expressed anger on social media about what Ciampa did. It's just sloppy. But anyway, so we get two matches in a row, pretty much the same outcome. Riddle and Nakamura win by DQ. They get a future title match. Okay, fine. We get a backstage segment, Ali and Theory brawling a little bit to add a little heat going into Sunday. Then we get the main event inside the ring, Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. And by the way, everyone, get ready for the Guess the Ratings contest. It requires you to be in the chat room. So make sure you're in the chat room when we do the contest. Don't do anything yet. I haven't announced what we're doing. But be prepared to type in a rating for NXT. Start thinking about what you think NXT's rating is going to be tomorrow. Don't type it yet, though. So we get Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. Damian Priest is at ringside. AJ Styles is at ringside. And, you know, we're getting a six-person tag match at Hell in a Cell. So, you know, Rhea and Liv are going back and forth a little bit. Rhea not taking Liv Morgan very seriously. Towards the latter part of the match, Rhea Ripley taunting Liv Morgan, which pisses her off. Nice headbutt by Liv Morgan. I don't know if that was intentional. I think it might have been just a little faux pas, but it looked good on TV. She knocks Rhea Ripley for a loop, and they're going at it. AJ Styles takes out Damian Priest because Damian Priest tried to do what Edge did the week before, holding Rhea Ripley against the ropes. And sure enough, Liv Morgan getting the win on Rhea Ripley surprised the shit out of me. You know, she's very happy after the match is over. And then we basically get the opposite since Edge, you know, was really out of the picture. You know, we get AJ Styles and Finn Balor comes out and they take out Damian Priest. Finn Balor focusing on Damian Priest and Liv Morgan a little bit with Rhea Ripley. And at the end, you have the baby faces standing tall in the ring. Now, will Finn Balor turn on Sunday? Might still be a little soon. I still think he's turning. I know we've been talking about it forever, but you know how WWE is. They're not going to rush it simply because we want it. So it's got to play out. But, you know, interesting way to build into Sunday. Then we had the contract signing with Bobby Lashley, Omos, and MVP that we talked about earlier. You know, it was not bad. You know, let me make this clear. You know, the post-Raw dark match probably involved Cody Rhodes. I can almost guarantee it involved Cody Rhodes. So for everyone out there that's like, wow, what a crappy way to close out Raw. I think those fans live, they knew that they were getting a nice treat after the Omos Bobby Lashley contract signing was up. Maybe someone in the chat could look up and tell me what the post-Raw dark match was. I don't think it would be Cody and Seth. Maybe it would be a tag match. Maybe Theory and Cody. You know, we might have something like that, but I expect some match like that to close out for everybody who was there live. WWE main event results from tonight. R-Truth over T-Bar. Apollo Crews over Akira Tozawa. I'm not saying to be concerned. You know, in the era of COVID, which we still have, it could be a COVID protocol. Maybe they just gave him the night off. But a lot of people took notice that when Apollo Crews had his match on main event, Commander Aziz was nowhere to be found. You didn't see any signs of Commander Aziz. So don't read anything into it right now, but he was not there with Apollo Crews. Now they have Apollo Crews getting involved in the 24/7 championship a little bit. You know, makes you wonder, you know, what's going to go on. Anyone get that main event? I'm just, so far, nobody yet. I'm sure somebody is going to pull it up. You know, not a bad episode of Raw, you know, but not, you know, to me, this was just an average episode of Raw. Did it do enough to lead into Hell in a Cell? Yeah, because the three-way women's match, Seth and Cody, you know are going to be solid matches. Theory versus Ali, you know, I don't know. I'm not feeling it at this point. You know, Judgment Day versus AJ Finn and Liv, I think is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if we're going to get any twists or turns Sunday, but you do have a handful of matches that are pretty strong. Right now, your card for Sunday is Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. We have Bianca versus Asuka versus Becky for the Raw Women's Championship. We have Bobby Lashley versus Omos and MVP in a 2-on-1 handicap match. We have Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. Theory versus Mustafa Ali. Finn Balor, AJ. You know, I just realized something. Anybody pick up on something? Let me read the matches again. And I'll give a shout out if anybody picks up on it. You got Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Bianca Belair versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title. Bobby Lashley versus Omos and MVP in a 2-on-1 handicap match. Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. Austin Theory versus Mustafa Ali. Has anybody caught on to where this is going? Psycho 187. Smart Man. Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and Liv Morgan versus The Judgment Day. Every wrestler is a Raw wrestler. There's not one SmackDown match on this card. Now, look, yes, the rosters have been loosened a little bit to strengthen house shows, to strengthen ticket sales. They get, you know, a lot done with a lot less people, but it's all Raw. It's all Raw. I don't know if anybody noticed. It started hitting me as I'm reading this. I'm like, okay, who's wrestling from SmackDown? We got nothing. Got nothing. Wow. Let's see what happens on Friday with SmackDown. So, we actually did Raw in 30 pretty much on time. Some previews for this week. Let me get into NXT first. We have what they're calling a Women's Championship Summit. It's going to feature Wendy Chu, Katana Chance, and Kayden Carter. And on the opposite side is Toxic Attraction and Mandy Rose. Championship Summit to lead into Saturday. Cameron Grimes is going to take on Nathan Frazier in a non-title match. We have Electra Lopez versus Cora Jade. And we have, I believe, the finals in the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. Tiffany Stratton versus Roxanne Perez. Now, my pick has been Roxanne Perez from the start. I'm still sticking with it. Let's see what goes down. But it does suck that Nikita Lyons got injured and as a result was out of the match. You know, look, Tiffany Stratton has gotten much better, but not on that level better. We'll see what happens on NXT tomorrow. All right, before we talk about AEW a little bit, some more news, and then we will get into questions, super chat, you know, chat room stuff, you know, because remember, we got 30 minutes and 30 minutes still. Let's do the ratings predictions contest. Here's how it works. Very simple. When I type go in the chat room, you have about 30 to 40 seconds to put your entry in. It doesn't take long to type in a ratings number. Now, whoever comes closest to the NXT actual rating tomorrow will win these two autographed photos. One of Liv Morgan, one of Mandy Rose. Whoever comes closest. Now, if you post more than one entry, I take your first entry. If I go back and watch the replay and I see that an entry was deleted, then you're not in the contest. So the idea is get your entry in as quickly as possible because you don't want someone else to type in the number you want. So get your fingers ready. Don't type yet because when you see go on the screen, then you type your number. By the way, tonight's episode of the Don Tony Show, your Raw recap, post-Raw review, is brought to you by Manscaped. The Ultra Smooth Package returns for a second week, and I will explain later how you could not only save 20%, but you could also get free shipping, get some grooming products for yourself, get it for your dad, get it for someone else. And I'm baffled. I'm baffled by this. But out of respect to what school do you go to, because he did super chat it, I'm going to answer it. DT, could you explain to us why Patreon is ad-free episodes, but I'm plugging Manscaped? First of all, Manscaped is a sponsor, just like Rocked used to be, just like Isaac Fox and his poetry was. When we plugged them for years and years and years, nobody said a damn thing. Nobody says a damn thing when it's friends or fellow patrons. They are a sponsor. And I'm not going to spend 2 hours of editing video and editing audio so you don't hear for 2 minutes me plug grooming products. They're a sponsor, not a commercial. If you can't hit the fast forward button 4 times and pass up on that, then just leave the Patreon. You know, I bust my ass on that Patreon, and there's no joke. We lost a lot of people because, you know, Mish left the show and, you know, the rest that it's changed. So do you want me to just shut the page down entirely? So my answer to everyone out there is they are a sponsor of the show. I recommend their stuff. And if you don't like the 2 minutes of plugging, you know, when I have 10 hours of programming a week, then fast forward it or just unsubscribe. You know, I mean, it. Look, we're talking about 3 people that complained, you know, but out of respect to school, because I do respect school, you know, I can't believe I have to answer that, but I am. All right. Are we ready, everyone? What you should do is right now, type your number. Don't hit enter. Type your number, what you think tomorrow's NXT rating is going to be. And then on Wednesday around 4 p.m., we will see what the rating is. And then I will go back and watch this. And the first person, whoever comes closest, you will win those 2 photos. Are we ready? 5 second countdown. 5, 4, 3. No, Twix, not yet. Not yet. When you see go, then it's go. Are we ready? Are you set? I think it was 5:51. It was mid fives because the week before I wasn't at 6:10. Somewhere in the mid fives. So, all right, go. There we go. All right. So, tonight's episode of The Don Tony Show is brought to you by Manscaped. And if you haven't figured it out already, oh, God, what was that? You know, Manscaped, I always vowed on these shows that I would not, you know, ever plug something that I wouldn't use myself or not recommend. I am a customer. I am a supporter. I bought my dad a whole bunch of stuff for Father's Day, as we showed a couple of days ago. You know, Manscaped is a grooming site, mainly for men, you know, and mainly for down there. And unfortunately for a lot of us over the years, when we are get lazy, you know, you don't get inspired to, you know, bother with a razor or a pair of scissors. And the next thing you know, you get out of the shower. You might not realize it because it's wet down there, but once you dry it, you pat it off, you come out of the pool and you take off that wet bathing suit and you dry yourself off with a towel. The next thing you realize, holy shit, I have cornfields down there. My hair down there is taller than Don King's hair used to be, taller than buckwheat. So Manscaped comes in. You get the Lawnmower 4.0. It is like a shaver that you would trim, you know, the, you know, your thick hair. But don't take the safeties off because you will have a blood fest down there. You trim it nicely, and then you get the crop exfoliator. Look, I'm not even looking at papers because I use this stuff. You get the crop exfoliator. You go in the shower. You wash down there. Everything gets nice and soapy, softens up your skin. Then you use the crop gel, and it makes everything nice and cool, and your hairs get erect, and they're just saying, cut me, cut me. And then you get the shaver, and you shave it. You can have it nice. You know, what do some people say? A landing field? What is it, a landing field? You could have it, you know, kind of like a landing post, or you could go infant, no sign of hair whatsoever. The choice is yours. But the fact is 85% of people surveyed has said that is a turnoff when they are sexually involved with someone and they go down there and it looks like a bad 70s porn movie. So, you know, it feels good. You know, you're in the mirror. You might have 10 tits, more chins than a Chinese restaurant. Your nipples might hit the floor, you know, like mine do. But at least you're groomed down there. Landing strip. Thank you. Manscaped.com. Go there now. Type in the promo code DONTONY. Save 20% on your order. Get free shipping. If you get the Ultra Smooth package and you put in the promo code $29.99 with free shipping. If this doesn't excite you, get it for your dad. Get it for your boss. And if you're embarrassed to give them products for their pubic hairs or their balls, they have shaving items, body soap, body spray, lip balm. They have everything there. Manscaped.com. Patreons will love it as well. All right. Are we done with the contest? I figured we hit two birds with one stone. I am typing right now. Contest over. You have 5 seconds, and then we will get into some more news, and then we will do Q&A, and then I will catch up on more sleep from yesterday. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Contest over. By the way, I didn't forget you, Ronnie, with that very generous $100 gift because of the MJF discussion we had Saturday night. Chuck, another one up for the good guys. We were spot on with everything MJF. We will talk about MJF in a few moments. All right. You know what? Let's do one more quick contest. These were the watch parties from the last week. This was your AEW Rampage watch party. And, you know, everybody who was not only there, but active chatting on the stage. You know, I don't want people to just get to sign in and not interact at all. Everybody who interacted during this watch party, everyone is eligible to win this autographed photo of Sting and this autographed photo of The Undertaker. In the SmackDown watch party last week, someone is going to win this Sasha Banks beautiful signed photo and Roman Reigns holding both championships. You're not going to find that on WWE Shop yet. So let's do those giveaways. I did these very easy. See that? Very cool, right? Everybody that was eligible for the Rampage watch party, they are on the screen. I am going to live hit a button, and whoever it lands on has, what, 72 hours to claim their prize? Good luck. Very cool. I like these virtual spinning wheels. Let's see who wins the Undertaker and Sting Stein photos. Eric Williams. Congratulations to Eric. Uncle Eric Williams. He won those Undertaker Sting photos. Now we give away the Roman Reigns, Sasha Banks photos. Are we ready? Let's spin that fucking wheel again. Could Eric win this? Would it be wrong if Eric got two? He couldn't. Could he? No, he can't. Mark Ness. Is that Mark? Oh, no, that's not. Who is that? That's Harris BX2. I thought it was Mark Ness. Harris. Harris, congratulations, Harris. Harris gets the Roman Reigns photo, gets the Sasha Banks photo, and yeah, this week we'll do more watch parties. I tell you the truth, I got this. I got this. I figured maybe for the Rampage watch party tomorrow to celebrate CM Punk winning the championship, we give someone an ice cream wrapper. We give someone the Topps CM Punk card, which still sells for $40 on eBay. And since CM Punk hates WWE so much, we could also give away the CM Punk WWE toothpaste and toothbrush. This way you could brush your teeth so they're not as yellow as CM Punk's. So that's probably going to be the prize for the Rampage watch party this week. Someone is going to win a CM Punk AEW Topps card, the ice cream wrapper, and the toothpaste and toothbrush CM Punk. Not joking. That'll be the prize tomorrow. So be part of the watch party tomorrow, and you could be in on this contest. All right. Yesterday, we were talking about AEW, Double or Nothing. Phenomenal show. Way too long. I watched a majority of the AEW watch party that took place after Double or Nothing was over. That is not a media scrum, everyone. That's a watch party. Most of the people there are just gushing, you know, celebrating, enjoying, taking it in. And I don't blame them, but you could see these are not media people. These are people who love AEW, who, you know, personally enjoy it. And, you know, they want the scoop for their site. It's not necessarily about just getting information because, you know, with the MJF stuff, you know, I don't want to talk about it. And everybody's like, oh, sorry. Somebody asked Chris Jericho, you know, how awesome he is. You know, not that wording, but it was all fluff. It was all fluff. Now, two things coming out of that. Tony Khan said that he bought an extra hour of the pay-per-view so Martha Hart could talk as long as she wanted. And because he had the extra hour, he added two matches to it. It's too long. It's too long. There was about three or four matches that don't belong. All right. The fact that he could not fit in Martha Hart's six-minute speech. Well, you could have Andrade and Rush. You could hold that off until Dynamite. You could hold off one other segment until Dynamite. Did we really need to be advertised about Dynamite? You know, I mean, I get it, but just really horrible mismanaging. The one thing that I found amazing was, you know, look, we know Bischoff's comments about CM Punk. I disagree with Bischoff. I respect Eric Bischoff, but I disagree with it. Tony Khan's already answered this. CM Punk has already answered what Bischoff said. Somebody brought it up yesterday, and you could tell why it was brought up, because CM Punk won the championship, and this was their opportunity to say, fuck you, Eric Bischoff, you see? I got the championship. And Tony Khan went on this vulgar tirade, angry as you can imagine. And it's like, my God, you know, one thing I will tell you about a lot of the wrestlers in that company and Tony Khan. You know me, I am a supporter of AEW. And I like AEW and I like Tony Khan. I like more than what I dislike. But I have never seen a group of, I'm trying to think of the right word. I've never seen a group that needed so much reassurance. Like, Tony Khan with the women with the NWA event. I paid for everybody. NWA didn't do a good job acknowledging that. Like, these people have to be coddled, acknowledged, reassured. That's why he gets triggered. You know, yesterday they had their biggest pay-per-view audience yet. It was still less tickets sold than Money in the Bank. You know, you could see this real insecurity, you know, not being accepted. So they have to rub it in and they have to get angry. There's so much anger in that company. CM Punk yesterday said that he feels that his AEW run is the best run of his career. And he's in the prime of his career right now. Now, we were honest about that match yesterday. That match was very sloppy. I think CM Punk emotionally is at the top of his game. I think CM Punk is having the most fun now. You get older, you know that your years are limited, your days are numbered as far as in the ring. I think truly that CM Punk is at his happiest right now. But to turn around, and you think of his entire career, to, you know, this is more like, you know what, WWE's stuff I did, that shit sucked. The WrestleMania stuff, the other things, best in the world, that's nothing. Now is the best run of my career. You know, it just feels like there's so much any way you could say fuck you to WWE, you do. And WWE, look, they're not innocent. WWE does a lot of things that they should be criticized for. But, you know, the IWC is going to go along with this more to discredit what had been done in WWE than anything else. And unfortunately for some warped people out there, not your normal people, some warped people, even the Owen Hart stuff, you know, the Owen Hart stuff that he did in WWE. No. We his Japanese career, you know, it's a tragic accident what happened. And I do believe that WWE was at fault in some capacity. But to turn around and to minimize stuff done in a company simply because you don't like it, that is insecurity. That is real insecurity. And I tell you, that what I watched today from last night, I give Tony Khan credit to have that much energy to wake up early in the morning, be at that building in the wee hours of the morning, go through the whole day, making sure everything is working, go through a five-hour pay-per-view, and then do a two-and-a-half-hour after party, media after party. This guy, I mean, I know a lot of people like to joke and say drugs and all that. I don't think it is, you know, but I think as he gets older, he's going to realize, oof, you know, pull back, Energizer Bunny. He's got to pull back a little bit. Now, luckily, no serious injuries coming out of yesterday's event. You know, a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises. Eddie Kingston looked a lot worse than how he felt, but they had a brawl yesterday. A lot of great matches. I watched back the Anna Jay, Jade Cargill match, and it was worse than we even felt yesterday. That was not very good. Now, as far as the MJF stuff, and I really appreciate this, not because of the amount that's involved, but look, for those that did not tune into Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show, the MJF no-showing the meet and greet, that broke during the live show. And as we briefly mentioned yesterday, people were trying to convince me that, you know, this is tremendously worse than people are saying. Oh, he's booked for a flight. He's this. And I immediately thought back to about 8 or 9 months ago when we said that MJF is the 2022 or 2021. It was really 2021 at the time. MJF is today's loose cannon, Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman, right before he left WCW to go to WWF and unfortunately had that car accident, and he was in ECW for that brief time, he came across as so unstable and unpredictable, and you didn't know what he was going to do next. He was the loose cannon. And MJF, we had this discussion last year. MJF is like the loose cannon, Brian Pillman. And a lot of what he does is in character. How many times in the last couple of weeks have we voiced our, you know, like amazement that news sites are reporting this stuff as news with MJF? Leaving when your contract is up, if you get more money, is common sense. MJF not being happy right now, making the money that he signed for 3 years ago, and now look at the level he's at in that company, he feels that he's being underpaid. Yeah, that's common knowledge. Everybody knows that. But the idea, you know what this was yesterday? And it's Saturday, and it pissed me off yesterday because after the show was over, I was like, Stu Knotts, how could you not think this? You know what happened Saturday with MJF? I'll tell you. Because some people are accusing Dave Meltzer of knowing the actual truth. I don't know. I'm not accusing him of that. But all I kept thinking about was Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania. You remember, and I like Denise Salcedo. This is not a knock on her, but she had Dave Meltzer on a podcast. It wasn't her that did it. Dave Meltzer said, you know, people close to Cody Rhodes saying that, you know, it's not a guarantee he's going to be at WrestleMania. People turned that into a major news story. And we were like, what the fuck? That's just not true. And do you remember all of that teasing the day before WrestleMania. Will Cody be there? Will he not be there? Nobody saw him backstage. He hasn't been around. Everybody's keeping quiet. This person, this. They did the same fucking thing again with MJF. That's what happened. And Saturday I said, guys, gals, MJF, whenever he does autograph signings, you know, he gets paid big money. But this was not an autograph appearance where he was getting paid by a vendor. He wasn't going to a convention. This was an AEW function to get more attention on him, to cause controversy. That's why Tony Khan didn't want to talk about it. If Tony Khan goes on record and it ends up being a storyline, people will accuse Tony Khan of lying. So if you don't want to be accused of lying, you keep your mouth shut. Anything that I criticize about Tony Khan this weekend, he nailed it by saying, I don't want to talk about it. I have no comment. Brilliant, Tony Khan. And I'm dead serious, dead sincere right now. MJF, nobody's reporting this. MJF, this weekend, he must have laughed so hard that he must have peed on the floor at all of the bullshit, ridiculous assumptions that was online. You buy a plane ticket to give everybody the suspension of disbelief that he's flying back to New York. And you cancel it. You buy a refundable. I could go on Travelocity right now or JetBlue because I just booked my honeymoon. I go on JetBlue, book a ticket right now, pay an extra $20, $30, and I could have a refundable fee. You buy it, you put the money on the card, and then a few hours later, you cancel it. Even if you lose $50, you don't think the billionaire is going to say, look, even if it costs you $500, I got it. These people online, either they're just the dumbest motherfuckers that we've ever seen in wrestling media. Not everybody. Some people legitimately were trying to cover it as it was going down. Some people were trying to get me to rip on Sean Rossap. I can't. The guy actually was covering it, what he knew and what was coming out. But you saw people out there teasing that, that's it, MJF's going to WWE. MJF is not showing. MJF this, or what if this, or what if that? Either they're the dumbest motherfuckers that we have ever seen, or they're intentionally clickbaiting everybody out there. And what happened this weekend was the same shit that they did Cody Rhodes the day before WrestleMania. I know my shows don't get the views that others do. I don't post the thumbnails. I don't post the clickbait titles, MJF quit, this and that. I refuse to do it. And I don't care if I sacrifice attention. The last thing I want someone to do is to see something in a title, you click on it, and then you're like, the fuck is this? It's totally wrong. And then they never come back again. Mm-mm, not doing that. But what awful shit that we saw this weekend with the MJF stuff. MJF is very, very intelligent. Very intelligent. Tony Khan might come off as a petulant child at times, but he is also very intelligent too. And the fact that these people are doing this, man, you know, I honestly, I mean, they're running out of creative ways to try to report news. You know, oh, MJF isolated from the locker room. Oh, really? What fucking wrestler in AEW is saying that? You know, and if he does have his own room to play off this loose cannon thing, yeah. If he ends up going to WWE, he wants more money. Tony Khan's like, look, I can't do it because if I do it for you, other people are going to want it as well. Okay, then buy me out. I'm leaving. That could end up happening. But that didn't happen yet. And if anybody later on says, see, I was right. I reported it right. No, report that I'm going to die. Someday you're going to be right. But MJF, that has not happened yet. That is not news. That is guessing and assumption and clickbait. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about Jake Atlas. Then we will get it. Oh, before we talk about Jake Atlas. All right. We expressed concern yesterday for Jeff Hardy. Some people said he got his bell rung. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not going to speculate, but it's no secret that we are witnessing the beginning of the end of Jeff Hardy's career. He cannot do what he used to do. Just because he thinks he can, and just because his heart tells him he can, it doesn't mean that Tony Khan should have him doing it. You look at 5 years ago in that Ring of Honor match, you look at yesterday, they're not nowhere near what they did. The Jeff Hardy that we saw in a couple of Dynamites doing the crazy shit he did should have been yesterday. Should have been held off for this. But Jeff Hardy, for those that don't know, this was the original match announced for this Wednesday's Dynamite. Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Christian Cage, and the Hardys versus the Undisputed Elite. Late this afternoon, no explanation given, Jeff Hardy was pulled from the match. So to make both sides even, they took Adam Cole out of the match as well. So Jeff Hardy is no longer in this match. It is now Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Christian, and Matt Hardy versus the Young Bucks and Red Dragon. So Jeff Hardy obviously is banged up. But I will say this. You know, he was able to finish the match yesterday. You have a 10-man tag. Jeff Hardy, I know he could stand on the apron and do nothing. I think people would notice. So Jeff would want to do something. The fact in a 10-man tag, we might only need to do one or two little things. The fact that with a 10-man tag, they still pulled him, this is bigger than you think. So once we get more info, I will definitely relay it to all of you. Okay. All right, let's talk briefly about Jake Atlas. All right, this came in late tonight. I had to go through my, you know, resources. You know, I've been skip tracing since the 90s. I do insurance for a living. I have access to a lot of sites, some where you have to actually pay for. And this, you know, I had to do a little digging to get the information in time for tonight's show. For those that don't know, Jake Atlas was arrested on May 23rd and was charged with assault. It is a misdemeanor, domestic dispute, you could call it. And he has to go back to court in June. Now, there's a couple of things about this that I want to... that doesn't look good. That does. Okay. There's a couple of things I'm going to talk about here. Now, look, I'm going to be honest with all of you. You could go on Twitter after I'm done, and you could find out who Jake Atlas was involved with. All right. I'm not going to mention the person's name here because it is still classified as a victim, and I don't like to give out victim information when any case comes along that we have to cover. So I'm not going to mention the person's name, but if you do a search online, you will get that answer. I'm not going to mention the witness's name either because the witness was just trying to help out. But I'm going to read you very quickly the actual police report. Some people will find some of this very interesting, but in the end, you'll realize Jake Atlas probably didn't have to be arrested over this. He just was uncooperative. But and then I'll tell you also about this because, you know, there's a few things that Jake Atlas cannot do from now until the end of June when he's got to go back to court. Some of those things, you know, I'm going to share with you. Anyway, this is straight from the police department. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. I'm sure ultimately someone will get it. But all right, this is the statement from the police officer. On May 23rd, at 12:57 a.m., he responded to an address in reference to a domestic violence case. Upon arrival, I made contact with the victim, the suspect, who is Jake Atlas, and a witness, at which time the following was determined. On May 22nd, at 10 p.m., this is about two and a half hours before the police showed up. Jake Atlas's name is actually Sanchez, Kenny Sanchez, but his legal name is Kenny Sanchez Martinez. Some of you out there that might be trying to pull a search, if you just look at Sanchez, you're not going to find it. Put Sanchez and Martinez all in one word, and you should be able to find it. Anyway, at approximately 10 p.m. on May 22nd, Sanchez was drinking alcohol with some friends at a place called Big Daddy's Roadhouse. Sanchez asked his partner, I'll just say Atlas. Atlas asked his partner to come to the bar and pick him up. Jake Atlas's partner met with him at the bar and tried to get him to come. However, Jake Atlas wanted his partner to drink with them. Note, Jake Atlas and his partner have been in an intimate domestic relationship for approximately 2 years and have lived together as a family for 1 year. So at least you understand the relationship with Jake Atlas and the victim. Per the victim, Jake Atlas wanted the victim to go back with Jake Atlas to a female friend's house to take part in sexual activities. Ménage à trois. Jake Atlas, the victim, and a few friends then reached a particular address. Once at the address, Jake Atlas continued drinking. Per the victim, he showed more attention to the female than Jake Atlas. Jake Atlas was accusing his partner of showing more attention to the female. Now, this was a sexual escapade. Upon which, Jake Atlas started a huge verbal disagreement between him and his partner. Jake Atlas became physically aggressive and charged his partner. The witness stepped in between Jake Atlas and his partner. I'm reading this carefully because I don't want to slip up and reveal names. Jake Atlas, the witness, stepped in between Jake Atlas and his partner in order to prevent Jake Atlas from attacking his partner. Per the witness, he felt that if he did not stop Jake Atlas would have attacked his partner. Jake Atlas's victim, his partner, then walked outside, and the witness convinced Jake Atlas to sleep it off at the witness's house. Just sleep it off. Once outside, Jake Atlas continued to yell at his partner. While his partner continued to walk away, Jake Atlas charged his partner physically. The witness once again had to physically step between the two of them. At this time, Jake Atlas attacked his partner on the left forearm. Jake Atlas's partner was observed with a minor scratch on the left forearm, and his tank top was torn in the middle from Jake Atlas. After being separated, the witness was able to get Jake Atlas into his apartment, into his vehicle, excuse me. However, Jake Atlas jumped out of the vehicle and started running at the apartment where Jake Atlas's partner was. The witness then agreed to take Jake Atlas back to his partner and their apartment so he could get his dog and leave. So the witness was going to take Jake Atlas back to his apartment, which he shared with his partner, get his dog, and leave the premises. Instead of leaving, Jake Atlas continued to argue with his partner. The witness and the partner gave Jake Atlas several opportunities to leave, which he refused. And at approximately 12:50 a.m., the victim felt that he had to call police because Jake Atlas would not leave or calm down. So far, I mean, look, it's a physical altercation, but it doesn't sound anything major. So here's the final part of it. It's very quick. During my investigation, the police officer, he separated the victim, the witness, and Jake Atlas, conducting interviews individually. The witness and the victim's statements corroborated. So Jake Atlas's partner and the witness, they both told the same story. When I interviewed Jake Atlas, he did not cooperate with me and refused to tell me his side of the story. I gave Jake Atlas multiple opportunities to tell his side. However, he only wished to talk to his partner instead of telling me his side. After I completed my investigation, I determined that Jake Atlas was the primary aggressor during this incident. Based on the statements provided to me, coupled with the injuries to, I almost said his name, to the victim's left forearm, probable cause was established to charge Jake Atlas with misdemeanor battery, domestic violence. Jake Atlas was placed under arrest and transported to jail without further incident. Jake Atlas was drunk. And the cops, the witness was trying to calm things down. Jake Atlas was uncooperative and he got arrested for it. It's not a major story, but, you know, any type of violence is unacceptable. You know, I mean, this is a wild story. You know, when you realize they're all going for sexual escapade, I mean, this is like something you read in the tabloids. But look, there was a victim in this. And it sucks that it happened. The, you know, especially that the victim and Jake Atlas, you know, had a 2-year relationship and been living together as a family for a year. You know, so one thing I will tell you, all right, one final thing. Number one, Jake Atlas is not allowed to go back to the residence that he shared with this person. So Jake Atlas had to move out. Jake Atlas is staying at a different address, which I am not going to reveal over here. But right now, Jake Atlas is not allowed to directly or indirectly contact his partner. He's not allowed to possess any weapons, firearms, or ammunition. He's not allowed to drink. He's not allowed to possess any forms of alcohol whatsoever. He has to maintain a separate residence, and he's got to return to law enforcement, you know, I guess for a follow-up. And then, you know, they issued a no contact order and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's more I could get into, but I figured I'll give you the full story, you know, which no one else is going to do. But again, you know, it just, it sucks. I mean, anybody that follows this show knows I'm a big fan of Jake Atlas. We just talked about Jake Atlas last week. Ironically, I think we talked about him last Monday, which was the night that he got arrested. You know, I appreciate Jake Atlas as a wrestler and the struggles that he has had, you know, to make it in the business and even the personal struggles. But still, alcohol, man, fucks you up. It fucks you up, especially when you're in a relationship. I mean, you get intoxicated. You know, you have an obviously an open relationship that you're going to, you and your partner is going to go, you know, have relations with, you know, at least a female out of this. And you're drinking. And you accuse your partner of, you know, paying attention to the female more than him, you know, things get fucked up, man. Not good. Not good. But hopefully, you know, this all, you know, comes to a good resolution. So, all right. Okay, here's a good question. And then we'll get into questions in a moment. Jake Atlas have these issues with WWE? No. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I did a whole check to see if he's been arrested for DUI or anything else before. And the funny thing is, there is a guy in Florida, the same exact name as him, just, you know, Kenny Sanchez. And I saw DUI, and I'm like, holy shit, what did I uncover? And then I looked at the date of birth, and I'm like, wait a minute, Jake Atlas is not 47 years old. And I was like, no, it's not him. No, there's no history of it. There's no history of it. One other news tidbit. And then we'll do Q&A for the rest of the night. By the way, they put this close-up picture of the Owen Hart titles that were given to Britt Baker and Adam Cole yesterday. I wanted to show them to you. You know, this is, you know, nice portrayal of them. Very, very nice. Very, very good job, Dan. Belts by Dan. Great job. Great job. Also, this is not a story. I don't know why people are making a big deal about it, but it's definitely something I should share with you. Yesterday at Double or Nothing, WWE was in the presence of Double or Nothing. They were outside with a truck that has a digital billboard on its side, and they were driving all around the arena advertising Money in the Bank July 2nd, and it's got Cody Rhodes on the front. This pissed off, triggered AEW fans. Thank God none of them tried to throw debris at the truck. But I want to make something perfectly clear. And anybody that goes back to me with me 20 years knows what I'm about to say is true. But when TNA would be coming to New York, they would have street team outside of the Nassau Coliseum at a WWE event passing out flyers for their own event. Ring of Honor would show up in the parking lot of a WWE event passing out flyers for their event. I told you the stories when I worked for XPW. We drove all the way to Philly and flyered all the cars at the CZW events. We used to go to Madison Square Garden and flyer for Frank Goodman and USA Pro Wrestling. Everybody does it. It's just in the year 2022, they don't have individuals standing in the parking lot passing out flyers. Now you pay someone a couple of $100 and they drive around the parking lot over and over again, portraying Money in the Bank. This was not to torment AEW. This was not to torment Tony Khan. If everybody doing that shit online, shut the fuck up. And I'm not talking about regular everyday fans. You know, I can understand when people are having a good laugh over it, but people reporting that, that's just asinine. This has been going on for decades and decades and decades. I'm kind of embarrassed that we even have to talk about that. But since somebody sent me the picture of the van, the truck, I'm like, all right, I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you. All right. So, with the exception of the contest and the opening intro, we are right at about 60 minutes, which means we have done Raw in 30 and News in 30. So now we will do Q&A in 30. So if you have any questions that you would like for me to answer in the chat, just put in capital letters the word question before your question so it stands out a little bit more. If anybody super chats, obviously, they get in before everyone else, but I don't want anybody ever to feel that they have to. You know, it's appreciated but not required. So, and make them good. Make them good because I am tired. We were up yesterday until about 4:30 in the morning, and I had to get up at 9. I actually got to sleep a little late, but I still had to get up early and do a couple of things insurance-wise. Oh, yes. Thank you, Tim Keel, and thank you, all of you as well. We hit 30,000 subscribers over the weekend, which was awesome. And not only that, remember an announcement I made in April that I was working on a deal, video deal for the Don Tony Show? I said that somebody made an offer I couldn't refuse, and the day after I made the announcement, Mish unfortunately left the channel, left the shows. On Friday, I got the email. They signed the deal. And in June, you will see a press release issued. My video shows will be featured on an elite wrestling channel, not AEW. So when I say elite, I mean one of the top ones. And all they wanted was on Monday show and the Saturday show. That's all they wanted. So we got the deal. Press release will be coming in June. It's going to surprise the shit out of a lot of people out there. They're going to be like, fuck, did this guy land this deal? So when people look at just YouTube and say, oh, you don't get that many viewers. When I say 90% of everybody that tunes in access audio only, trust me, these people pull Excel sheets from, you know, Lipson and Megaphone and all these others. They see the numbers. I don't make them up. You think anybody would be signing deals, offering me these deals if I had microscopic numbers? So thank you. I really mean that. Thank you. Thank you. Hurts. All right. T-Nasty, just an opinion question. Better tag team run, ECW Dudleys, WWE Dudleys, or TNA Team 3D? As much as I love the Dudleys and ECW, their WWE run, the ECW run was very raw, and they would not be able to do half the things that they did in, you know, then that they would do in WWE. I enjoyed the WWE run. You would never in a million years I would have ever thought that Dudleys would have gone that far in WWE, and they did, and they're still beloved to this day. They became iconic and Hall of Fame wrestlers because of WWE. Loved their WWE run. No. Soulfly, YouTube channel does not change. The only thing that changes is Blue Wire is part of it. So I got to just not put logos on the screen because on this network, they're going to have their big logo in the corner. So it's all good. We're expanding, everyone. We're not going down. You know, we're not downsizing. HB is asking me, did I hear about the Matt Riddle, Damian Priest situation? Honestly, unless I hear something from Matt Riddle or Damian Priest, you know, you don't know what to believe. I mean, I've seen Matt Riddle's ex writes some pretty interesting things, to say the least. I saw recently Kimberly write things about Nash Carter. You know, I mean, Zachary Wentz. I don't like to comment about something that I'm not sure of. And Riddle and Damian Priest, they're professionals. At the end of the day, you know, they're going to worry about their careers and their future and their livelihood. And, you know, whatever transpires going forward, you know, it gets handled. You know, not everybody's going to have kumbaya. But honestly, without them directly saying something, yeah. Mike from New York, Dudley said that their last WWE run was bad. Sure it was, because they were nowhere near what they used to be. I'm not talking about their last run. I'm talking about their run in the 90s and the 2000s. That's the run I'm talking about. Roderick, good evening. Do I think the next Judgment Day member will be revealed on Sunday? I'm still thinking Finn Balor. I don't know if it's going to happen Sunday. I mean, here's what could happen. Finn Balor, if he joins Judgment Day, I know what a lot of people are going to say. Wait a minute, he just attacked Damian Priest on Raw. Well, you know, he could be a member of Judgment Day, and Edge forces Finn Balor and Damian Priest to get along. So there could be dissension. They don't like each other, but Edge, no, it's a collective unit. We're bigger and more powerful. Does it happen Sunday? If I was WWE, I would not make it happen Sunday. It could. It could. But I'm still, Ciampa's not a bad choice. It's just the presentation of Ciampa has sucked for the last 6 weeks. Let's be honest. We love Ciampa here. I'm a big fan of Ciampa. We root for Ciampa. But the way he's been used on TV just sucks. I don't think fans would care all that much if Ciampa was in Judgment Day. I think this has got to be bigger, and I think Finn Balor is the one to do it. Rojo Bear, who should beat CM Punk for the AEW championship? Oof. My immediate thought is Wardlow. But do you go that quick? I say no. I mean, look, CM Punk, we got Forbidden Door coming up. So he doesn't have to worry too much about title defense at the moment. We don't know if he's going to turn. You know, I have no issues. By the way, for people, because I didn't say this really yesterday because I didn't think I needed to, but people that asked me today, you know, am I fine with him winning the championship? Yeah, absolutely. When people say to me, well, you know, what about the young guys? They have the whole career ahead of them. There's no rush. CM Punk is, you know, the leader of this company. Even if he is older, that the fans are dictating some of what's going on. You know, when you hear that, oh, Tony Khan planned 2 years in advance certain champions. Trust me, 2 years ago or even a year ago, I don't think he planned CM Punk. I don't even think he realized he was going to get CM Punk. This is the right move for now. I thought Hangman Page would win to solidify his reign as champion. Where Hangman Page goes from here, I have no idea. Somebody random is obviously going to come out and confront him. The question is who? Maybe it's Moxley. I don't know. All right, a couple of more questions. We got about 10 minutes left. Soulfly is asking, could I see a swerve for the next Judgment Day, being a member like Randy Orton? No. Randy Orton, when he returns, it's going to be shocking. You know, a lot of us still think that he's going to turn on Riddle. You know, Riddle keeps talking about his friend, but Riddle seems to be concerned more about championships, you know. Something's got to intertwine it. You don't take Randy Orton and then shift him away from Riddle and just join Judgment Day. And then what happens? You know, Riddle's like, Randy, why are you joining Judgment Day? It's kind of goofy. I would say no, not right now. Maybe down the line, but not right now. Be interesting to see RKO. Rated RKO reunite. That would be pretty cool, but I don't see it. Did I do much today? I woke up at 9. I did about 3 hours of insurance work, ate lunch, you know, hung out with the future missus. and then started preparing for the show for tonight. Didn't do too much. Jericho will not be mad at Becky for calling herself the Wizard. Jericho is not the original Wizard. The older wrestlers seem to get it that, you know, everybody, you know, they're not necessarily the originators of stuff. No. Fans may have a problem with it, but not the wrestlers. He may say something just to have some fun, but I don't see any more than that. I do not see the same attributes between Herb Abrams and Tony Khan. The only reason people say that is because of Herb Abrams having this unreal energy because he was a cokehead. You know, I experimented cocaine twice. I've told the story. I was up for 2 days in a hotel and my ex-girlfriend started, I've told the story, started sniffing the rug in the hotel room because some debris fell on the floor. And like a dog, she's sniffing the rug. And I'm like, oh my God, like barefoot homeless people probably walked into this room. It wasn't a posh hotel. It was a room 30 years ago. You pay $100 for the night, you know, just to bang and do stuff. You know, certain drugs will keep you up. And that's what Herb, I don't think Tony Khan is a cokehead. No, people just say that because they see this ridiculous amount of energy and they feel there's got to be some substance involved. I don't think Tony Khan is a drug addict. No, I don't. MJF's next feud, I think let me say this. I don't know if you tuned in to Saturday, but I said Tony Khan trying to offer an extension or MJF wanting some more money right now, renegotiating current deal, is definitely something that should be discussed. AEW, Tony Khan and MJF 3-4 years ago did not realize how big he was going to get. And everything that MJF is doing is right now is increasing his value. And it's getting a lot of attention to AEW. That's why Tony Khan is being silent about it. If MJF was really going against AEW, you don't think Tony Khan wanted to nip it in the bud and set a message to everyone else in the company that we're not going to tolerate that shit? This isn't going to be, you know, like somebody just get... No. Plus, MJF is a professional. Just because he's a dick doesn't mean he's not a professional. He wasn't going to screw Wardlow in that match. That would have hurt Wardlow tremendously. The guy, we talked about it Saturday. I didn't believe for 1 second the guy was going to no-show. Would have fucked up Wardlow. The guy did exactly what we expected him to do. I don't know what sites out there all along said, no, this is just MJF being MJF, but I know for a fact that we said that Saturday, and we ended up being right. I think MJF right now, whatever happens with Tony Khan needs to be addressed. Because MJF could end up leaving, for real. But I think if he stays, and I believe that he should, I think they do a loose cannon gimmick. Loose cannon gimmick. I think MJF, you know, will be very unpredictable and may show up. In fact, if I was AEW, I have MJF showing up at other promotions, not WWE, but I have MJF show up at Impact, show up for, I don't know, MLW, show up at some other places and, you know, just try to make it seem like this motherfucker is just going to go wherever he wants. That's what I would do. So right now, it's not necessarily about an opponent for him. It's what you do with the character. All right. Going to bring this home. Conor McGregor fans, I found a site. He made it 2008, and it advertises the Minority Report on the front page. That is awesome. That was one of my original podcasts. It started in 2005, Minority Report. Then it led to the DTKC show and, you know, other shows and the rest is history. So it's been a long time, man. It's been a long time. It's funny. You go back 20 years, which is the time I worked for XPW. You go back 20 years when I was doing my hotline, working for XPW and getting into the indie wrestling a little bit. If someone would have said to me, DT, 20 years from now, you're going to still be ignored, disrespected. The Cool Kids Club will not mention you at all. You hated this and that. I would have said 20 years ago, yeah, you're probably about right. It's amazing how that has not changed in 20 years. And I don't call anybody out anymore. I'm getting old, everybody. Soap Fly's been tuning in for 12 years. That's awesome. All right, which team beats Jurassic Express for the tag titles? I think Christian will turn heel. I think Jungle Boy, that was a little seed planted yesterday when Christian got thrown into the steps and Jungle Boy was concerned about Christian, and Christian's like, get in the ring. Don't worry about me. I think something will happen there where Jungle Boy will show his naive and Christian may snap. I want to see Hobbs get gold, but I got to be honest with you. I'm really feeling Strickland and Keith Lee. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee are just work great together. It's an oddball team. Keith Lee looks like he's having fun. You know, just hearing some of that charisma come out, I mean, I'm loving it. So, give me Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. But I really want Hobbs to get gold. I really want Hobbs to get gold. Out of everybody that wrestled yesterday, I rooted for Hobbs more than anybody to get gold, and it didn't happen. So, is Mattel hypocritical for allowing larger girls to take offense from men, but the heel Damian Priest can't attack Liv Morgan? No, that's just the way WWE looks at the world. Women could hit men, but men cannot hit women. You know, that's their preference. That's their form of entertainment. It's been like that for a long time now. That's why it was so rare when Baron Corbin, didn't he hit a move on Becky Lynch and everybody's like, ah! You know, it's very rare. That's how WWE perceives it. It is what it is. So, Charlie, my thoughts are with your grandmother. I don't know what's going on with her, but I don't ever want to hear bad news with grandma. I miss my grandma to this day. She's gone now 31 years. 30 years, actually. 30 years. 1992. Yeah, Athena, I'm looking forward to it. But I'm holding my breath that she will get some good momentum on AEW television. We might see it for a week or two, or may get tease for 3 weeks, and then it ends up AEW YouTube. All right, we're going to wrap it up. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Great show, awesome show. Did Raw in 30, News in 30, Q&A in 30. Did a couple of contests as well. For my Patreon family, tomorrow I will be live right after NXT. Don't forget, tomorrow, NXT, we are going to do a watch party. Now, the CM Punk stuff will hold off for Rampage on Friday, but I will definitely come up with something really cool for NXT tomorrow. I have a few things I'm looking at right now that, would be pretty cool to give away, but I'll announce it tomorrow on social media. I'll post something in the community section as well, but we'll do the NXT watch party at 8 p.m., and then right after NXT, I will be on Patreon to do our VIP show for Patreon. And then if I don't see you tomorrow, we'll be here Thursday. Q&A, we'll talk about some AEW, NXT news. We'll find out a little bit more about Jeff Hardy's situation. Hopefully it's just bumps and bruises. And just, hey, take the week off. I hope that's what it is. I hope it's not more than that. But one thing I want to stress is, do not think any substance issues. That's not the case. But on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I'd appreciate it if you smash that like button. Like, share, subscribe. I will see you later on this week. Be well, everyone. And you all stay safe. Have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.